Welcome to The Sober Effect, a show that looks at the positives of sobriety, the dangers of alcohol, and the many people who are affected by it. I'm Kate.
And I'm Steph. The ripple effect of alcohol is far-reaching, and those are the stories you'll hear on The Sober Effect.
Where do we start? It's the final episode.
I don't know where to begin, really. It's been amazing doing these, and it's been such a journey. The journey word annoys me because it's part of a bigger journey, which is life, really. And it's not a journey, it's a thousand journeys, isn't it, that we've been taking in different directions, backwards, and some we've been jumping over the fence on others and running forward. And it's not just one path. It's just our lives have changed so much, haven't they, in the last 2.5 years. And this has been such an incredible insight into alcohol and how it affects other people and how it affects the people around the people who drink and stop drinking. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like I've come to a different place now. And I think we spoke about this years ago about, will we ever get to the point where alcohol isn't really the focus? And I think we have, haven't we?
Yeah, this podcast has been incredible. When we decided to do this, we said, let's just do 10 episodes and see where it takes us. And the response has been incredible. The things that I have learned, and I know you would agree, like the things we have learned from our guests, because we really brought on people that we felt added value to the sober effect, right? Like the effect that your sobriety has and the effect that your drinking had. Like there is this ripple effect that touches so many people around you, even outside of your household. Like you just don't even realize it. And I think we did our job. I think we did a great job of like bringing that to light. And the reason I can say that is, I mean, gosh, the emails and the DMs and all of this that we've been getting from this community that we built, just saying how much they've had like aha moments and like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. That's what we were wanting to do. And I think at this point, like there's not much left. I mean, I'm not saying that we won't maybe in the future have something come up, but we don't want to run this into the ground, so to speak, you know? And like you and I both were, we want to give people hope at the beginning of sobriety because you, like you said, you feel kind of like, is this what life's always going to be? Am I always going to have to be thinking about it? Am I always going to have to like be engaging in things that are talking about it? And the answer is no. It's who I am now and it feels good. Like I feel comfortable in it.
And I think you have to pursue other things. If you're focused on not drinking, you know, every day after you stop for years and years, you're still focusing on alcohol. And actually, it's really important to step back from that. And you kind of did that when you left Instagram. And then we still had this. But, you know, I'm at a place at the moment where I'm thinking about a whole change of career and I need to really think about my future, where I want to live, what I want to do. My children are getting older and actually I'm ready to do that now. I do think you have to nurture yourself. You have to look after yourself. You have to get to understand yourself. And that took longer than I thought. That took a couple of years. You know, when you're a regular drinker and you have, and I was drinking every day for over 20 years. And, you know, it took a long time to find my feet when I stopped because that had been my main identity. And that's fine. And that's what we were here for, to help people to talk about things, really think about why you're doing this and why you drank. Think about the reasons that you have for not drinking, because there are so many. And I hadn't realized how many there were. And I think that's really kind of cemented my understanding of how bad alcohol is. And I didn't have that before. I just thought I can't drink because I'm a mess when I do and I know it's bad for me. But now I don't want to drink. That's one tiny aspect of life. There's so much more out there. And I think both of us have reached the point, and it's really nice that we're both at the same point in our sobriety because we've kind of always done this kind of leapfrog thing where we're always around the same place dealing with the same things. And, you know, we're both making big changes in our life and our friends will be able to follow that and see what we're doing. But we need to focus on that really now. And I think we've done our job. As you say, we've given so much information. We have interviewed some amazing people and we really understood what it is to be sober and we're confident in who we are. And I hope the people listening realize that they will get to that stage too. You know, it's kind of like we all get there in the end. If you stick to it, if you're dedicated, if you really do listen and you talk and you think about things and you grow and you love yourself, you will reach a point where you want to see more, you want to think more, and you stop thinking about alcohol. It just doesn't factor into your day at all.
Right. The point of this podcast is to build up a case against alcohol, because I think you and I both agreed, like, that's what finally got us sober. Like, you have to see it for what it is. You have to quit romanticizing or glamorizing it or thinking, I can go back, it won't be that bad, because that's the cycle that a lot of us get stuck in. And so when you can finally see it as a poison, because that's what it is, and you can finally love yourself enough to not want to ingest a poison. I mean, think of it this way. If someone was serving you undercooked chicken, you wouldn't eat it, because you know you're going to get violently ill. You're going to get food poisoning. Alcohol's no different. It's no different. And that's what I've learned. And that's actually what I always go back to. The problem is the narrative out there isn't that, right? The narrative out there is drink responsibly, glamorize it. And so you keep going back thinking you're the problem. Your approach is wrong. You need to do things differently. But what we are trying to help people see is it's not you. It is a poison. It is addictive. You're so much better without it. You have to love yourself enough to not want to ingest this poison anymore. And once you can convince yourself that it is no good, you can move on. It will finally click, right? You'll finally get to this point where you're like, okay, yep, I'm done. I'm moving on. Because you also just open your mind space, like your time, your energy, and you have the capacity now to like figure out what you really love to do, because you shelved those things for so long so that alcohol could be a part of your life. Because as we have talked about, it takes a lot to have alcohol in your life. You've got to have recovery time. You've got to have, you know, it's just
the space to get messy. And then all the apologizing and all of the kind of in your own head space, you know, and all of that self-talk. It's exhausting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, I mean, you've referred to it as a food poison. And the way that I think about it is that it's a drug. And it's like, Yes, I did love that first hour. I'm not going to lie. I loved that feeling. It was like a buzz through my body. It lifted me because I was taking drugs. Yes, that's what drugs do. That's why there's so many people out there taking them. Because if they never gave you that, then no one would take them. The point is, it's so short-lived and there's so much. It's like driving along in a car with your boot open, with your life falling out the back as you drive along and you're looking at this sunset chasing it. Yeah, that's what I want. I'm going to keep. And you don't realize you're losing everything that you care about out of the back of your car.
Money's just flying down the highway. Yeah.
Friends are dropping out. Everything you care about, you know, put a few family members in there, you know, a bit of pride back there.
Yeah.
But it's true. And you're chasing that thing and you'll never reach it. You don't ever reach the summit, but you get this kind of crazed, I'm going to chase that feeling. And that's dangerous. And that's when you have to be sensible and go, look, wake up, Kate, be realistic. What are you getting out of this? It's 1 hour. And it's not like it's euphoria. It's just, you know, nice. But look at the carnage you've left behind. And I think that's where the strength comes in. You've got to be honest about what it does. And it doesn't do that much. And it takes a lot. And so I do think of it as drugging myself. And, you know, and I always used to say I don't take drugs. But actually, I did all that time. That's exactly what I was doing.
I was the same. You know, and the other thing is just building up. I mean, I guess this podcast is a little bit of like our advice, right? Like this is going to be kind of like what we've learned. I mean, every time you say no to drinking, it's just like this slow build, right? It just gets easier and easier and easier. And just like with any big change in life, like it's going to be a challenge at first. It does take time to get used to saying no or I don't drink, but it builds that resilience. And people then start learning to quit asking. And then that gets weird. Like I will remember like when people stopped asking me, I'm like, okay, you know, because it was just the norm, right? Like people were like, you're still not drinking, you know, because you will get that.
You're still drinking?
Yeah, exactly. And then now it's just like we had friends in town this weekend. Like we didn't even talk about it. And it was amazing. It felt so good for it to not even come up. There's an energy shift for sure in my sobriety now, like when I'm in a room with people who are drinking, it doesn't feel as awkward for me. I don't know what it felt like for them. I can't speak to other people's experiences, but for me, it felt really awkward for a long time. And I'm really proud of the fact that I stuck to it, because it takes a lot of mental strength to stick to that. And I'm coming out on the other side. Like, literally, I feel like I'm coming out on the other side, knowing who I am. Like you said, I've got so much excitement in my life, like things that I can go do and I want to go do, and it's happening. Instead of it just being some drunk dream, you know, and then I have no ambition to really do it. Like, we're doing it, you know, and it's just so cool. It's just, it's so exciting.
What life is meant to be like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not meant to be drugged through your life. It's going to stunt you and it's going to prevent you from going places. You're putting up invisible boundaries all the time, all around you, between you and your kids, you and your partners, you and your family members. You and your friends, you know, you're making bad decisions about the things you eat, the people you hang around with. I mean, I have friends now, which is one big point. Like, don't think you're going to lose everyone, but I've got different friends. I've got new friends. I've got lots of the old friends. You know, I haven't lost loads of friends. There's a few people I don't see anymore, but I'm actually glad about that because it's my choice. I don't want to see them. I've realized that they were good fun because they drank a lot and it made me feel better. That's not a loss. You know, I hope that they're fine. I hope they're well. Good luck to them. But I don't miss them in my life because I've realized they were there for a reason to enable me to drink. And now I don't want that. But everything you say is so true. And it just feels like I've had a long outward sigh.
Yeah.
I've had time to sit in a rocking chair and look at myself and go, that was a bit of a mess, wasn't it? Right. You've done it. And it's gone by so quickly. This 2.5 years has gone by so quickly. I still can't believe I've done it. I still remember counting the first 10 days and being so excited. I mean, I marked off every day for the first 100 days in a diary, and it was such a big deal for me. And I just thought, what's coming next? And I've gone through ups and downs, and is this forever? And oh, I really want to drink. But I've got all these new associations now with Christmases, with birthdays, with summer holidays, and none of them involve alcohol. So my brain's getting used to it. It's not tormenting me anymore. I don't have those, you know, come on, have a drink. I just don't want it. I don't need it. It's not part of my life anymore. And I'm amazed it used to be such a huge part, because it scares me to death to think of getting drunk now and being out of control. Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a few drinking dreams recently. And one of them, Steph, it was awful. I was in London. I was off my head. I couldn't stand up. I was falling in a hedge. And I was calling Nick and going, please, can you come get me? I don't know where the buses are. There aren't any. And he was like, you're on your own. I've had enough. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And he kept hanging up on me. And I was panicking, and I knew I was going to hurt myself. I didn't know where I was. And I woke up and I had that fear, that real fear that I remembered I used to wake up with. And it was horrible. I hate the thought of being drunk now. I mean, I don't know how I managed to get through life drinking every night now that I look back on it. And that's a good thing. That means I've grown and I'm starting to rely on the tools that I've got that are natural. I mean, the one thing I will say is that I have been feeling really emotional recently. Maybe it's because the podcast is ending, but I think that's only a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been feeling, I mean, I saw a dead rabbit in the road today and burst out crying while I was driving. That's really quite emotional for me. I don't normally react quite that way to roadkill, but I'm feeling really emotional, and I've realized I am a highly empathetic person and I feel these really strong emotions. And I used to bunch all of these emotions together and spit them out through alcohol in any which way they came out, which is why you never knew how I was going to respond. But that's how I used to deal with all of these different things. And I am finding it overwhelming at the moment, but actually it's overwhelming in a way that it's like a puzzle and I need to understand why they're happening. Nothing's going to come along and knock me over. And there's no timer saying you've got to work this out quickly, or you've got to apologize for something before you understand what it is that you did. I've got time to work it out. And actually, I'm sure I can use these emotions to my advantage. There's all these things that were hiding that weren't allowed to come out and shine. And I didn't understand that's what I was actually like. I mean, before we went on, you were saying maybe you're an extrovert and I've been spending so much time alone.
Yeah.
I'm learning about all these things and it's like being given a second chance.
Yeah. The emotion part has been huge for me. I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that I've gotten so used to working through them. Like I forgot that this was part of my sobriety. I mean, I even have a tattoo that says feel it all because I never wanted to deal with the heavy emotions. And that's where alcohol came in a lot. And I know a lot of people, when they drink, they get emotional. But for me, it was always so different. I could drink to avoid getting emotional. Like it would numb me out enough to where I didn't have to really, you know, face the demons per se. And now I do. I allow myself the space and the time it takes to work through something that maybe has me feeling sad. And instead of like running to alcohol and avoiding it, I now like run to solitude and sit with it and journal about it. And ask myself, or if I can't get myself out of it, I make an appointment with my therapist and he asks the right questions to help me talk through it and work it out. And it has just been the most beautiful thing to feel it all, the good and the bad. Because when you can feel the bad, the good is better than any buzz from alcohol, like the joy, the rebound you get from working through a tough emotion. It's like the best reward. And you miss out on that when you drink because you numb everything out. So you're not, yeah, you may feel like, okay, I've drank that stress away or I've drank that grief or that sadness, but then you never get that rebound of that joy because the alcohol steals all emotions. It just flatlines you and it stores it in a different way. And you're going to either get sick or you're going to have a panic attack, or you're going to have anxiety. Our bodies are smarter than we are, and they will find a way to get this out. And so if you do not learn how to face this stuff head on and work through it, you're going to get sick, or you're going to have anxiety or depression or whatever, because our bodies don't want that. They don't want
poison inside us, do they?
Correct. Yeah.
I think my advice for the people who listen to this podcast is to just keep remembering and being realistic about what life was like, because you're not here because it was okay and a small problem. You're here because it was affecting your life so much that you had to take drastic measures. And moderation doesn't work. It doesn't work unless it's always worked for you. So right. Unless you've been able to do it forever, it's never going to work. I'm sorry, but I've never seen it happen. And there's a few myths floating around that there's a few people who have done it. I've never seen anyone be able to do it. Yeah. It's just not true. And also, why do it? Because then you're still chasing that thing. You're still telling yourself, this is a treat. This is something I want. We weren't born to drink alcohol. We have been introduced to it by friends, by family, by society. We've been told this is a fun thing that you do when you socialize. It makes you go a bit off your head. It's quite expensive. It's quite dangerous, but it's a drug and you can buy it in the shops. That's the truth.
Right.
Now, if we'd never been introduced to it, we wouldn't be craving it. So walk away from it. You don't need it. You never needed it. And I think it's such a huge presence in society that that's what makes it difficult. But if you really think about it, we don't need it. So try and learn who you are. Try and live your authentic self, because those are the people who at the end of their lives look back and think, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I did the most that I could. Yes, I made some mistakes, but I also made some really good decisions and met some amazing people. And I've felt love and I felt happiness and I've taken risks. People who have drunk all their lives look back and think, what a waste. What could I have done? I know I'm talking about my own feelings on this, yeah, because I thought about this a lot. I don't want to end my life thinking, what if? All because I wanted to drink this stuff every night to escape. I want to be there. I don't want to escape from my surroundings and my world and my life and my brain and the people, yeah, I love. I don't want to escape from them. If it isn't working, change it. Don't try and escape while you're sitting at home on the sofa and drugging yourself. That's not escape. That's hiding. That's hiding underneath a very heavy blanket that's weighing you down. So just throw it off and it's time to live. It's just time, mm-hmm, to be yourself and see what you're capable of and explore the world, explore yourself and the people around you. I mean, it just feels like life is right now and there will be bumps, but they won't be fueled by booze anymore.
Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is going to do this for you. And you have to do this for yourself. And that's anything, alcohol, fitness journeys, learning something new. Like, you cannot expect validation from others and you cannot expect motivation from others. You have to find that within. And that is probably the biggest challenge I think most of us face, is finding that confidence from within, that love for ourselves that says, it doesn't matter what this person says or what this person thinks about what I'm about to do. This is my life and this is how I want to live it. And I'm not going to let someone else's opinion or the way they look at life intrude into that. And that is a very hard thing to do because you may lose people. I've lost people and it was hard at first, but now looking back, I'm like, thank God, because I would have still like been living for them. I would still been living like their version of reality. My version of reality is mine and it's beautiful. And I've let go of so many like belief systems that were ingrained into me and I didn't truly believe them, but I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do. And it's shedding all of that and just showing up for yourself every single day and asking yourself, what do you want? What lights you up? What makes you excited? Who cares if someone says, oh my God, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Or, oh my God, you can't do that. Have you thought about this? Like, people will interject so much fear that they feel if they were to do what you're going to do. And you got to remember, you're not them. So that would be my two cents. You got to do it for you.
Yeah. And those people, if you actually looked into it, the people who criticize and try and pull you back, are normally people who need to go through some sort of transition themselves and take a good look at themselves. Because why would you ever hold a friend back from making a choice that's good for them? You wouldn't, is the truth. So it's questionable to begin with, to be honest, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if anyone tries to make you stop or pull you back, you know, it won't help. It won't help. It might help for an hour, but I'm not trading everything I've gained for an hour of feeling off my head, basically, or feeling a little burst of happiness, or, oh, nothing matters. You know, tricking me into thinking nothing matters is a trick, because it does matter. And we're grown-ups now. There's no two ways about it. Like, sit with the emotion, think it through, because actually you're also going to sit with those good emotions and you're going to feel valid in accepting it. You're going to feel valid in saying, I am worthy of this. Don't talk to me like that. Fine, I'm going to walk away from this person or this situation. And you can't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong because it's my choice. Right. You get this, you stand taller. You are much more confident when you're not drinking because you don't have all those small things going, you made a fool of yourself. You're embarrassing. Look at the state of you last week. What makes you think you can stand up and argue your point? You grow to the point where you really like yourself and you respect yourself. And you think that, you know, I'm not going to let you knock me down. And I don't care if that means I'm walking on my own today. Fine, because I'd rather walk on my own and be happy and know where I am than surrounded by people who are shouting. There's something so peaceful and calm about waking up every day and knowing that my choices are mine.
Yeah. And where are those people the next day when you're hungover and you feel like complete shit? They're not there helping you feel better. It's just like you said, we're all adults, but there's still that inner child, right?
Yeah.
That is like wanting to be a part of a group, wanting validation, wanting friends. And we have to parent. I've learned that. I've had to parent her. And that's where there was a switch with me too, right? She's the one that wanted to drink all the time and fit in and be cool because that made everyone around her happy because it made them feel better about themselves. Then I never focused on feeling good about myself. And that's when it had to switch, when like this parenting came in to that child and said, listen, like, you are enough just the way you are. And if these people cannot support your decision to stop drinking because it is affecting your physical and mental health, then goodbye. Goodbye.
I love that, Steph. And I've never thought of it like that, about parenting your own inner child. But both of those are important. And you can be both of those. You have to be both of those. But it all gets mashed up when you drink. All those feelings get mashed into one, and the boundaries get lost. And you can't work out what's a genuine feeling. And you're too busy just trying to act so people don't suspect that you're hungover. Life is so short. You should be out there finding ways to make yourself laugh, and people who make you happy, and things you do that are exciting. That's the point of life. It's not trying to stay at ground level. It's elevating your life all the time, thinking of things that will make you happy. And that doesn't mean jumping out of a plane. It might mean sitting in a garden reading a book.
Yes.
If that makes you happy. Exactly. Yeah. But great, find time to do that and appreciate it. It's just better, isn't it? I mean, really, all of these 39 episodes have been there to say you're going to feel better, you're going to look better, life's going to be better without alcohol. You just can't argue with that, can you?
And you know what, you guys, you deserve it. And I think that's the biggest part of it. I know people in my life that want what I have, you know, and they look at me and they think that I may be mentally stronger or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm not. I just want it enough to go after it. And it's like, you've got to start listening to those thoughts that are taking you there. Oh, we'll just drink or whatever. Or like, you know, it makes these people happy when I'm with them drinking. If I tell them no, they're like, what do you mean you don't want to have a drink? And then I feel bad because I've let them down. You've got to start dissecting that, right? And being like, no, like, this is not who I am anymore. Yeah. I don't want this for myself. And it's going to be the most rewarding challenge you've ever faced in so many different ways. And yeah, all these episodes, they're just one thing after another showing you that it's only going to get better. Is it going to be easy? No, but life wasn't going to be easy anyway. Life isn't going to be easy with alcohol. So you pick your hard.
It's the most beautiful breakup you'll ever go through.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Steph, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Goodbye for now.
I don't really like goodbyes at all.
I don't either.
Have you got a joke or something?
No.
No, nor do
no,
I.
No joke.
Well, look, I'm gonna see you soon anyway, because we'll keep chatting, won't we?
Absolutely.
And we'll say goodbye for now. But honestly, you are doing so well. If you're even listening to this, mm-hmm. you've taken a step in the right direction. If you're still drinking, but you're listening to these, mm-hmm. you're already moving forward mentally.
Yeah.
Without realizing it. And actually, it's the hardest few steps to take, those first ones. You know, I remember looking at all the before and after photos, scrolling through them like, give me more. I can't get enough of these because I needed it. I wanted to see it. I needed to hear more. I listened to the podcasts. I read the books. I couldn't get enough. So just keep doing it.
Yes.
Because it works. It really does. And as you say, anyone can do this. They really can. If you want to, you'll do it.
And these podcasts are going to be out there. Re-listen as much as you want, you know, send them to a friend and just keep focusing on the right now. Thanks for tuning in. We're just two women from opposite sides of the pond striving to shed light on the negative impacts of alcohol. Quick heads up, we're not licensed therapists or doctors. If alcohol is seriously affecting your mental or physical health, seek professional help.
And don't forget to hit that follow button to catch all of our future episodes. If you think our podcast could make a difference to someone you know, share the love. And hey, leaving a 5-star review will really help the Sober Effect reach more fantastic people like you. So thank you.